Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. The What to Read Next podcast helps you build a TBR of future favorite books. In each episode, Lori and Mean interviews authors and book influencers to recommend books they loved for you to pick up today. If you're an avid reader, always looking for your next great read, then the show's for you. Hi, Elizabeth. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hey, Laura. It's good to be here. Thank you.
I am so excited to chat with you. So let's chat about how this podcast came about, because it's an historic day. And the reason why we came about is because of 2 days, what happened. So last month, there was a leak that the Supreme Court was going to overturn Roe versus Wade. And Roman Solandia, like any other time, we stand together and we save money. We auction things off. And we save it and we put it onto different funds that matter. And so we had Meet Cute Bookshop, which is a new romance bookstore in California, put together an auction, and it was for abortion rights. And so Elizabeth won. I donated a spot for the podcast, and Elizabeth won the spot. So thank you.
Absolutely. Those podcast spots, they were hot. They were hot tickets. Jeez. There were no Bridgerton series. Like, I believe there was like 2 or 3 whole Bridgerton, signed Bridgerton sets. Those went for like a couple thousand each, but like, dang.
But the Charm Offensive went to like $3,000, $4,000, the arc for the Charm Offensive. Because I was like, God. And I saw, and Allison was actually traveling, I think, at the time. And so she was like, well, I guess I'll throw, it was like not even $1,000. And she was like, I'll throw a Zoom. And I was like, oh my gosh, you're going to feel like, oh my gosh, it's like $3,000 for like an arc, you know?
So. Oh no, I loved it. I loved seeing it. It was great. Yeah, it was the sort of day I was like, I'm so glad I have my day job.
Yeah. So the podcast spots were a hot commodity. Like, there was a fight between people. We were looking at those fights. I was talking to Kelly from Movies and Newbies, because we're both our friends. Mm-hmm. And we're like, who's winning? Who's winning? So I was like, we were trying to figure out, like, who's doing this? Like, what is going on? You know?
I love that. I was thinking to myself, I wonder if the podcasters are looking at this and asking themselves, like, who is going to be the most expensive podcast? And does that mean anything at all? I don't know. I love auctions, though. Auctions have a really fun atmosphere for me. This was no different, even if it was online.
So I have to tell you, because I did not know what you were going to come and talk about. So I was like, and I was talking to my friend Brie, who has another podcast. We have a podcast group together. We chat about each other's stuff. And I was telling her, I was like, I kind of want to do a monster romance, you know, but I don't know who to ask for it. And so I don't know. Like, and that was 2 days before it happened. So when you actually brought up, I was like, I actually want to talk about monster romance. I was like, going on law of attraction. Like, I just manifested this.
Right. Holy serendipity. Because yeah, I was looking at this and the part of me wanted to like give some of these podcasters a warning. Like, I ended up focusing on yours. Yeah. And just putting my funds towards that. I wanted to give some of them a heads up. Like, so I actually do blog about monster romance, everyone. And I think it's fun.
Well, I would tell you, if you have picked Boobies and Newbies, they will have gladly agree with that too. So Kelly and I, we both are aficionados of, like, you know, of spicy, steamy romance. And like, and Kelly does read some, I don't know if she does, she reads alien romance. So it's like a good, you know, bridge to monster romance, you know.
For sure. There's definitely a Venn diagram, yeah. I think, going on there. Yeah. In fact, I'd say more alien romance. I would consider it to be monster romance than not. Mm-hmm. But I have, like, I don't know if it's like a basic standard of what makes it a monster romance versus not, like, for me, is one of the love interests not human? Mm-hmm. If they are not human, then we are in monster romance-ish territory at the very least. Now, I think it can get a little bit interesting, like, at what point are you kind of copping out with the non-human thing? Like, is all of Sarah J. Maas's books from, like, A Court of All the Things? like, is that monster romance? Because technically, all those bat boys, they are not human.
Yeah.
It's a fairy realm. And you can say that for all fairy romances, how much of that is monster romance and is not. That is something I would actually love to talk about with other folks about.
We do a panel. And yes. I'm gonna volunteer as a trivia to host a panel about monster romance, and I'm gonna help you curate this panel.
I would love that. I actually have been looking into starting my own podcast eventually.
Yes, I think we should. But yeah, we'll chat offline about this. But
for sure,
we should have a whole study about monster romance. You know,
this is like I don't know like. So I was telling you earlier, I'm a data person. I do admit when I started getting into this, there was a part of me that was wondering, was there a point where suddenly monster romance sort of took off? Not to say like all of this took off when I started getting interested in it.
It did. It took off. Yeah, it took off recently. I would say 2020 was the year where a lot of shit
went down. Right. Much shit went down in 2020. Including monster romance.
Monster romance, was like, I think it just like, it became a thing. Like, I think CM Nicosta's series became popular. Then Ruby Dixon became popular on TikTok. Then the orcs became popular. Like, you start to see like all these like other monsters starting to become popular. I think TikTok helped the situation. A lot of the books were available on Kindle Unlimited. And so book talkers were just reading Kindle Unlimited and they're like discovering all these like spicy stuff.
Right. Some of it is definitely spicier than others.
Yes. With TikTok, I don't trust TikTok's spicy level because it's like, I don't know. Sometimes they think the love hypothesis is too spicy. And I'm like, I'm sorry, but that's only has like one scene. Like,
no. It is so cute. My own mother has spicier sense than that. It's so cute.
Yeah.
So not to downplay my own mother, she's a wonderful lady, but she is also Pollyanna incarnate. So, oh my gosh. But yeah, and I also appreciate that, yeah, there was a lot of readers. Amazon has like the great algorithm. So truly, like if you got a Kindle Unlimited subscription, like the world's your oyster. Or your monster dick, really. Like it's there's so much. And plus too, with the pandemic, so many lives were being tossed around. There were those of us like me, my world was going nuts. And I ended up getting into reading. I forget exactly what happened. It was like in a fit of nostalgia, I went on to Tumblr. And from Tumblr, there seems to be a TikTok to Tumblr pipeline. Yeah, yeah. and of course, like people were like, I split up barbarians. I'm like, these look like tieflings of another sort. Yes. As a shout out to my D&D fans. And I was like, I freaking love this. And of course, it was like a perfect setup for like, now, Ruby Dixon, I believe, started writing these before the pandemic, but
these were popular back in 2016, 2017.
There we go.
I heard about them, and I heard because it used to be a Hoopla, it used to be an Audible Escape, which is like, and Audible used to have, I don't know, this is before our times, it was so great. So Audible used to have Audible Escape, which means I have all these romance audiobooks for free. You pay $7.95 and you can listen to as many audiobooks as possible. It's just like Kindle Unlimited, but just audiobooks for romance. And so they had so many series. And I think it was like, I remember a booktuber. Yeah, they changed it to Audible Plus, which sucks. So, so I think it was either Audible Escape or it was Scrib. And like, I remember booktubers talking about Ruby Dixon not being able to access the audiobook. They're like, I don't understand, but I'm like, oh, they're on Kindle Limited. So she wrote this series like back, and like a lot of the series are getting reprinted in thanks to BookTok, our 2015, 2016, 2017 series. So they've been
before. I love that for indie authors. Like, why not reprint your stuff?
Yes.
I
make money.
Do it. Go make the money. Yeah. I am all for this.
Yeah. So,
but I kind of loved with like, so the Not Hoth world is brutal as hell. And you have these women who are abducted. There's awful things that happen to them that are outside of their control. I'm over here like, this feels relatable. I feel ripped from my cozy world and thrown into a hellscape.
Yeah.
And I just appreciated that they were making the best of it and having amazing sex at the same time.
Yes. rip dicks.
Right.
Rip for pleasure.
Eventually for my blog, I'm going to have to finally write my review for Ice Planet Barbarians. I've actually never printed it, but in my head, like, because I am a lit nerd. Like, I'm one of those people, like, I went into undergrad and I got an English degree because I'm a book nerd, and I got the honors track because it was fun. It's one of those people. Like, in my head, I'm like, this is like the Decameron of our time. And I desperately now want to like sit down and create like these connections between the Italian Renaissance and what's happening right now in romance world. Just because I'm like, there's no such thing as high art and low art. There's just art.
Yes.
One of those people.
Yes. All right. So take us back. So Ice Planet Barbarian was your gateway drug. What?
Absolutely.
You know, and then how did you end up going for the other not human, you know?
Oh, it was totally the Kindle algorithm, because they were like, would you like? And it was Sam Nascosta with her Morning Glory Milking Farm, which is a great, I think it's novella. It's not a full novel, but it is titillating as hell. The whole premise, this idea of like, you know, in the pharmaceutical world of the universe she writes in, Minotaur spunk is like the main ingredient for their version of Viagra. So you have to have like these special milking farms in order to collect the sperm. And this main character goes to become a technician for this milking farm and ends up meeting this really hot Minotaur. And things go from there. And it was largely like the Kindle Unlimited algorithm that got me going. And I was also one of those people, I think, especially women, it seems, us older-ish millennials, those of us born in the 1900s. There was, the 90s were a weird time, I think, of like pop culture, like moments of non-human love interests.
Yes.
And I was totally one of those girls who was like, yes, I do think the Beast is hot from Beauty and the Beast. Yes, please. I want more gargoyles. And of course, like, you're a little kid. You're not really thinking really hard about it. You're just like, I am attracted to this. Don't know why. And I like going with like, you know, Belle's my princess, my Disney princess, because she likes books and so do I. But also like, the Beast is hot, gosh darn it. And he's got a great character arc.
Yes.
Oh, I'm a sucker for a good character arc.
Yes. Yes, I see the parallel of the 90s and the and now in the 2020s, we're just like, we need to escape because we're living a hellhole. We might as well just escape somewhere else. So
what really key there, it is an escape. I think I see monster romance as very escape-y, just because romance novels in general are just escapism, which is great. And I think one of the reasons I particularly like monster romance is that the assumption is we're already in an escapee sort of realm. We're just going to get real deep into it, like go full on completely improbable I love to, I point out to my spouse, there's no point in getting jealous of any of these book boyfriends because literally you cannot have a double penis. So
yeah,
there is clearly a line between my fantasy world and my real world. And I'm totally fine with it.
Oh my God. Oh, I love that. Yeah, it's true. So
he's actually read Ice Planet Barbarian, and one of my favorite he's only read the first book, but one of my favorite bits of feedback he gave me, I was asking him, like, you know, where are you in the beginning of it, and he said, well, Georgie, the main character, keeps on talking about how she wants to suck the main guy's dick, which is great, but she won't do it. And it was driving him nuts, the tantalizing, like, just Ruby Dixon stringing my poor spouse along with, like, gosh darn it, give the man head.
Oh, Georgie.
I appreciate that feedback. I was not expecting that. So, but he has told me, like, he is really hoping for more female yeah. romance novels, because he's fascinated by the premise too, but also that's just his thing. So
yeah, we have some male monster romance, but I haven't seen female monster romance. Are there any
there is I've got at least one or two that's okay. on my to be read pile, my virtual one.
Yeah,
but there is not a lot. I think just in general, the queer romance world, even in monster romance land, like, there is a lot of growth potential.
Yeah.
But I feel the demand. I have no data to back this up, but I feel the demand. We're already, like, once again, like, with monster romance, like, the sky's the friggin' limit. So don't let genitalia stop you.
Yeah. Yes, I feel like we need to have non-binary, we need to have, like, anything, like, genderqueer, queer, sapphic, bi, I don't know, ace, demisexual, like, any, like, we have a whole spectrum to go.
Absolutely, absolutely. If we can defy physics with double penetration with two penises, we can do anything.
Yes.
That's my empowering takeaway with monster romance.
This is so good. All right, so I'm a beginner. I've only read Ruby Dixon, the first couple books in the series. I got hooked on them, but they're like crack, and I'm trying to not dive into fully into them because I know I'm not gonna read anything else but just Ruby Dixon. And so
is so easy to do.
It's really easy to do because they're like crack. I remember reading the first book in the morning before going to work because the book is short. There's problematic issues with that first book, but
for sure,
it's short. You can read it in like a couple hours and just like you dive into it and then you're like, oh my gosh, I need to read more. So,
and there are 19 others.
Yes.
So, and that's just that series.
I was going to say, she has multiple worlds, because I did read another one where it was a mail order bride matchmaking something, you know, she was like a human and she didn't know any better,
right, and it's all in the same universe too. That woman is the queen of universe building, like everything is connected. I love her little Facebook groups. Well, really, she's got the one Facebook group. Sorry, I belong to a lot of Facebook groups. But anyway, like, they love talking about, like, this is where this series comes into play with that series. It's really fun. But it's true. There is more than just Ruby Dixon. She's got some wonderful contemporaries, even those that she works with on the outside. I would love to be a fly on the wall for some of these, like, I don't know if they have like chat rooms. Are they on a Discord? Is it WhatsApp? I don't know, but I want to be a part of it just to watch and be a creep. Because like, it was one of my favorite authors did mention briefly in her own Discord, oh yeah, so I was talking to Ruby about this. I'm like, gosh darn it, I knew you corresponded. So Finley Fenn is a wonderful world builder too. So you were mentioning orcs. Yes. So she does the Orc Sworn series. It starts with Lady and the Orc, and it is really her main focus right now, the Orc Sworn series. It is, oh gosh. Okay. So orcs, when we say orcs, what kind of orcs are we talking about? I think is a very good question. Are we talking about the Tolkien orcs? No, we are not. We're talking more like World of Warcraft-esque orcs that are in some ways actually kind of elf-ish, which is interesting. They are like very large, bad guy elves in some ways. Like, and I find it very interesting that in her world there is like rumors of like, you know, the elves were around, but then like the orcs came. And it's fun being on her Discord. If you can get on her Discord, like, I highly recommend it, folks. It's like one of the coolest places. I lurk mostly because I'm just like, I love the vibe here. I just read the vibe. But like the one of the prevailing like theories is that there's never been elves, there's only been orcs. So orcs are just elves by another name, which I think is really cool. And also the Tolkien fan in me is like, yes, because orcs were elves at one time in that universe. So it all works together. Anyway, it is the Orc Sworn series is the sort of series that I recommend for folks that is not Ice Planet Barbarians. I made the comparison one time in my blog, and I will say it again. Ice Planet Barbarians, Ruby Dixon is like Jane Austen in the monster romance world. It is fluffy. It is cute. You will always like be on skirting danger, but never fully in it. Mm-hmm. That's just how Ruby works. By comparison, Finley Fenn is more like one of the Bronte sisters of the monster romance world. Shit's going to get serious. It's going to get dark. And so like, if you have, if dark issues make you uncomfortable, Orc Sworn is filled with landmine of trigger warnings. So definitely do your research. Her website is wonderful in breaking down like, hey, this is going to talk about child abuse. This is going to have like off screen, some very violent stuff happening. This is going to have some on-screen violent stuff happening. There's a lot of that. This is not even talking about the copious orc sperm everywhere. Oh my gosh. Like, I am over here like amazed that all of Orc Mountain doesn't have a dehydration problem because they are jizzing everywhere. But it's water soluble, thank God. That's canon, by the way. You know you have a lot of orc jizz everywhere when you have to confirm with the author in her Discord it's water soluble, right? So you got to be okay with that. So if you're you don't like fluids too, this is not for you. If exhibitionism makes you feel weird, not for you. If essentially like bisexual tendencies, because you know orcs only ever give birth to sons, so there are no lady orcs in this world. So it means that if you want a romantic interest as an orc growing up, you have to either like somehow woo a human female, which is very hard, or you're open to your fellow orcs. So there's a lot of that too. So you got to be like into all of these things. Thankfully I am. So
yeah, me too. This is great. Did they kidnap a human by any chance? Did they do some kidnapping?
So there is some kidnapping. Okay, it's interesting. I love that. yeah, it gets really cool. Like also, if you're a current or former like Potterhead, This also appeals, I think, in an interesting way. So like you are, so Lady and the Orc is introduced in an interesting point of Orc Mountains history. So like all Orc world is centered around Orc Mountain. That is the seat of where their captain, essentially their king equivalent, is at. And it's also where the five clans are as well. And the old captain has just died before this book gets started. And there was some awful shit that happened. Like they put themselves on the brink of extinction, the orcs. They've been at constant war with humankind. And you've got, you've just got a lot of crazy shit that's been happening. And Lady and the Orc, the point of that is the new captain is trying to bring in a new era of prosperity, build back up the Orc clans, bring the Orc clans together. And he does start that with a good old kidnapping of a human lady.
Yes, I have to say, I did not realize I like kidnapping until I started reading mafia romance.
Like
to kidnap people like there's no tomorrow. And mm-hmm. like, I don't know, for some reason, I don't know what it says about me. I've gone to therapy about this, but like captive thing. Like I live for that shit, you know.
Okay. Then one of these clans you're going to particularly love, because there are five clans in this mountain. Yeah. And they all have their different ways of doing stuff. So you've got Ashkai, that's the one that all their leaders are from of the mountain. And they're the schemers, they're the plotters, they're the politicians of the mountain. You've got Grisk. They really freaking love body jewelry. They're also the family oriented, and unsurprisingly the most populous of the orc clans, because mm-hmm. frankly human women like them better because they're nicer
and they got jewelry.
Right, and they have jewelry. They've got and it is very common to have pierced dicks in yep. this, so yeah. If you are wondering, does this mean yes it does. You've got the Batul clan, that is they're also known as the Horde. They're kind of like the army mm-hmm. of Orc Mountain. They're also into gardening, which is fun. You've got Ka'esh. They love BDSM and are the nerds of the mountain. And they're the ones that I relate to the most, frankly. You've got the library and the dungeon. How fun. But then this clan you might like the most, Laura, is Clan Sky. And I think I'm pronouncing that right. S-K-A-I. They're sort of like, they are like the mafia of the mountain. So like, they're the ones, their mating rituals involve hunting their mate, like straight up stalking them.
Oh my God, yes.
And then carrying them back, like, so
yes.
Everyone else is like more like proper wooing, but this guy or over here like, oh no, we're gonna hunt you. We're going to earn you.
Yes. Oh, yes. Oh my gosh. No. I can see the bridge. I see the gateway for me. Like, this is where it's going to take me to Monster World.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I've often thought to myself, like, actually this world would probably be a great video game, just because like, you've got all these different clans, you know, choose your clan. And like, are you going to go lead a raid? Are you going to woo a woman? Or like, actually the women too, like the heroines that Finley creates are absolutely fascinating. She does a great job breaking down things like mental health illnesses, past abuse, trust issues, self-esteem. Oh my God. Like, she just handles them, I think, in kind of a fascinating and artistic way. The woman does a really good, stream of consciousness narrative to really get into the head of the female main character. Lit Nerd in me absolutely loves that. Loves it, especially because like I think back to my high school days and like when I had to first learn about stream of consciousness narrative, it was through Virginia Woolf, which is depressing as hell.
Yes.
And there's a part of me that wishes high school me could have been like, look, stream of consciousness can be really well done and fun.
Yes. With monster decks. We're done with
yes. With monster, I think teenage me would have been down. Like, yes. Really? So, but yeah, like I strongly recommend, like, yeah, I Orcsworn as a not, as a darker, not Ice Planet Barbarian series. If you do want something a little bit happier, which I don't blame anyone for, then I think it's CM Nescosta all the way. And her Cambric Creek series, like we had mentioned before, Morning Glory Milking Farm, like a lot of people, I think most actually seem to be introduced to her that way, but she's got so much else. And so like, she's got the Girls Weekend series in Cambric Creek. She's also got a brand new book that is just adorable called Sweet Berries, and that's a Mothman romance, and I had low expectations in some ways going into this because I'm like, how the hell are you making Mothman sexy? Turns out you totally can. Once again, like, you have no rules when it comes to a dick, so why don't you just make a dick pretty much like the best wiggly sex toy attached to a man you can, which is exactly what this book is. So it's great. I almost feel like if I go into too much detail describing the penis, it's like a spoiler, because it's that much, like, fun.
What kind of penis can you create? I feel like these are like authors are like, you know, let's think about the woman's rights and let's think about their pleasure. And like, let's think about what ways can we make it more pleasurable for the women.
You know? Absolutely. And I love that. Because again, why not? The rules are out the gate here.
Yeah.
You don't have to write about you don't even have to write about a big penis to make it interesting.
Yeah.
Like, there is a lot of size stuff going on, like the Orcsworn series. If you are a size queen, you will love this because everyone's got a big dick. Everybody. Yeah. Even the small dicks are pretty big.
Yeah.
So, but I love that CM Nescosta is like, doesn't have to be big. It can just be fun.
Yeah. It can be wiggly. It can be ripped. It can be this. It can be that. It can be pierced. It can be any way you want it.
Absolutely. Which is great. And another thing I also admit I love about CM Nescosta is her published stuff is really just the tippy top of her iceberg. Like, a woman's got a whole portfolio of short stories that she had originally published on Tumblr. And now she's been like pulling it back and republishing out. And getting paid for it. I love that. You can see more of it if you are on her Patreon. I am on her Patreon. It's great.
I think you shared just during the Patreon. Like, honestly, these are ways that you can support, not only support the author, but get good content, you know?
Yes. Oh, and she is worth it. Like, if you joined her Patreon, like, this is my unpaid endorsement. Join that woman's Patreon. It is totally worth it. She's got great fan art. She commissions these gorgeous, gorgeous works to illustrate her work. And I love it, by the way, when authors will commission artists to do fan art, just because in a way I never moved beyond children's picture books, but now I just need them naughty.
Yes. I need to see how big the dick is and what kind of pleasure it looks like and how does it look in that position.
Absolutely. Why not? So yeah, she's great. And you can read like all of these drafts that she's got going on, because truly, like, there is an entire iceberg of work that woman has been working on in the Cambric Creek world. And you do realize that Morning Glory Milking Farm is just like this detached, like, blip of a story compared to the much bigger world going on there. So much recommended. I also think it's kind of another interesting thing I find about monster romance world is, I mean, once again, kind of revisiting the what constitutes monster romance, because on one hand, it's very exciting how there's no rules on what genitalia is and how it works, what it looks like. It's really just comes down to how fun is it for someone with a vagina? but like, I can also appreciate that it can be a little intimidating for some authors because we are humans and we got what we got. And so I think that is partly where shifter romances do come in, because you get all the fun of being in love with like a bear, but he's a shifter, so we still have a normalish dick to work with. He's just big and hairy and we can go with that. And by the way, that is no judgment whatsoever. I have enjoyed that. That is fun. And I totally see where the writers are coming from, and I can absolutely appreciate it. Hello, Jeff. I have an orange cat boy. His name is Jeff Bridges, and he has finally noticed the himbo that he is. You're talking to someone who's not me.
Oh my God.
So yeah, now he's going to be like hanging out now, like a little shark around my chair.
What is going on? Are you talking about other things that are not me?
Right? What the hell? So, but I think that shifter universe, it does disappoint some people. And I was on a group chat with some of my gal pals, and one of them did complain, like, I tried looking up monster romance stuff, but it's a human dick. I think one short story of a book that I love recommending for people where, like, if you want to go really hard into this, could have been a shifter, but they did not go into the shifter world, and like physics now confuse me. L.V. Lane would be like my other big recommendation, and specifically The Centaur in My Forest, followed by The Centaur in My Valley. Because you're over here, I mean, I was over here thinking like, so the centaur is going to shift, right? No, the centaur is not going to shift. How the hell is this going to work? It works. It actually works. It's got to a point where like I have accused Lane on Instagram of like, is your big end game just sex toys? Are you going to do like a giant sex toy like line? Because I'd say both of those books are really just her getting really creative how sex toys can be used in different props. And it's really fun. Actually, like there is a part of me that's kind of like, I would like to see a sex toy line. I would like this. I admit, like she's got other stuff where it's essentially an Omegaverse world. And this is just really one tiny part of it, but they're short. They're sexy as hell. They made me feel scandalous most of the time reading it. Like I am a wife and mother. Should I keep reading this? yes, and it's fun. So that's like me like going through like some of my biggest like some of my main recommendations. But honestly, like if I've put it on my blog, that's kind of like an endorsement on my Instagram page. Like if nothing else, because like I'm one of those reviewers that like I'm not going to read it unless I think I'm going to like it. Like it's just I suspect from looking at Goodreads, like, are there some reviewers that are like, I'm going to hate read this?
There are some people who like to do that. They're like to hey, reach it, and they're just like, this is what I'm known for. I'm probably not gonna be in that camp. I don't have time for that shit. I'm like, I'm sorry, but like I just want to read for fun. Like, you know,
life's too short
like for me to hate read something. Like, if it doesn't work for me, it doesn't work for me. Like, it's not the end of the world, you know.
Yeah, no, I wholly agree with that. It, you know, hey, if you want to hate read for the internet karma and that's what you're in it for, it is not what I'm in it for. I need something to read while I'm nursing and or like just trying to escape life. So
all right, so tell us where you can find you online. Tell us about your blog, tell us about your Instagram page, tell us like where we can get more monster recommendations, where we can stalk you.
Okay, so I was not terribly creative in how I named my blog. So I'm on Instagram with the handle monster_romance. I go by the name Monster Romance Reviews. Oh ho!
You are
very clever.
It's actually very good for people looking for monster romance. They're like, they know where to go.
Right. I admit, SEO wise, perfect.
Yes. This is like SEO dream. Like, you got a niche, you got the title, like monster romance, we know where to go.
Oh, and what a niche too, just because like it's only going to grow from here. Please, everyone, grow. If you're over here in the, you know, in the internet thinking, should I try to write monster romance? The answer is yes. Consider listening to this podcast to be your sign from the universe saying yes, yes, go for it.
There is a market, there's a need, people are looking for it, there's a need for it, people are looking absolutely for it, and it's gonna grow more and more as people discover, you know, as they discover Explained by Rarian, the orcs, TM Acosta, they're gonna be like, I need more.
Absolutely. Like, we were just talking about like the queer stuff. Yeah. Like, that's like, that is low bar. We're going to get a lot crazier, I think. Oh my gosh. Especially like I admit that's another reason why I'm also on Twitter. My handle is monstrous_love.
Yeah.
Cause it was like close enough, partly because it's Twitter.
Yeah.
there are handles for everything. But it, you know, if you just like search on Twitter monster romance reviews, boom, I am there. I love something that I love about Twitter that you can't get out of Instagram is the not safe for work stuff. So minors be gone. I don't want to deal with you. Yeah. Not yet. Come to me in your own good time.
Yeah. All right. So. Yeah, Elizabeth, thank you so much. You must come back. I would like you to come back and give us some more recommendations and more updates as we advance, if we go from beginners to intermediate to advanced level.
You know, that would be so
this
cool.
This is a journey that we're going to go.
Besides, we got to do that panel. I am far from the only one who can talk about monster romance. I want to hear these other people.
We're doing the panel, so we're on this journey. Thank you for donating, but thank you so much for honestly opening our eyes for different types of things.
It was an absolute pleasure.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support the podcast. For a list of books mentioned and other romance recommendations, please visit whatyourneextblog.com. Did you know you can purchase audiobooks directly from your favorite local bookstore? With LibroFM, you can pick up more than 250,000 audiobooks, including bestsellers and recommendations from real booksellers. You'll get the same audiobooks at the same price as the largest audiobook company, you know the name, but you'll be part of a different story, one that supports the local community. If you're new to audiobooks, they're the perfect way to squeeze more reading into your busy life. Listen with the free LibroFM app while you do your chores, walk the dog, relax at home. If you already love audiobooks and don't know what to listen next, check out recommendations from people who know the best booksellers. The Watch Your Next podcast has a special offer for our listeners. Get two audiobooks on LibroFM for the price of one with your first month membership. Use code WATCHYOURNEXT.
The offer is valid only for new members in Canada and the U.S. The Watch Your Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Please visit frolic.media/podcast to discover new shows to tune in. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? Watch Your Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit watchyournextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.